All right, I'm Josh, and this is Voices from the Field, where we give an opportunity to hear different stories from those that are currently serving within the ministry. This week, we're focusing on those that have been through a different type of pain within their life and how the pain didn't define them, but in the end, it was God who redeemed that pain and turned it around into something better. And so I'm joined here with Scott, who's been within the ministry, working in the ministry for a little over 5.5 years. Scott, would you introduce yourself to everyone?
Hey, I'm Scott. I'm the Next Gen pastor or associate pastor of Next Gen Ministries at Christ Community Church in Waseca, Minnesota.
Awesome. So starting right off, would you mind sharing a bit of your story and kind of share maybe about some pain or loss or challenge that has helped shape your life?
Yeah. And so for me, I grew up in a small town, Ohio, Tiffin, Ohio. And right away, my life kind of just was in and out of chaos. My mom had me right out of high school, and my dad was right out of the picture as well. And so then was adopted, was in and out of my mom's care. I was with her and then with my great grandma and great uncle for a while, then back with my mom. Mom remarried, I was adopted, and had my sister, Rena. And then again, was taken away from my mom, lived with great grandma and great uncle, then back with mom there for a bit. And then she had remarried because my adoptive dad had left. And so then we had my brother, Tony. And then after that, went through some things where we were placed into foster care. And so that was the third time being taken away from my mom's care. And so then bounced around to different homes, starting with some of our neighbors, and then moved to a town 20 minutes east. And then over to Findlay, Ohio, which was about half an hour southwest of where I grew up. Moved with a few families there. And then at the end of that was where I started really just being introduced to the church through Vacation Bible School, and just a really solid family. But we found out we were going to be moving back with my grandma, and that was a hard thing for us to do. And so we were just like, well, this is what it is. So ended up moving in with my grandma and a babysitter we would stay with quite a while. And during this time was when I really started dealing with some of the stresses of the things that we'd been through and just trying to figure out my place. I was hanging out with a lot of high schoolers as a 6, 7 year old. And so it was just really hard battling some of those depressive suicidal thoughts right from the early ages there. And then ended up moving back in with our mom and new stepdad, and my mom had had a brother while we were in foster care. And so it was the four of us living in this town home. My stepdad's brother was living with us too, and my cousins would come over. And so it was like me taking care of the house, taking care of my siblings, enduring different abuses, neglects, all sorts of just crazy things that were really hard. And we were there for about a year, and that was like the longest time that I'd lived with my mom. And so it was a lot of different things, a lot of different just stressors and all that. And then September 2002, we ended up getting a knock at the door, and myself and my sister were getting pulled from our mom. And so that was the fourth time. And so in Ohio, we couldn't go back to living with her mom ever again. So right before I turned 8 was the last time I lived with my mom. And so then moved in with an aunt and uncle. That digressed pretty quickly, and it was a weird thing because, again, they were going to church. She was teaching some education classes after school, but we were enduring so many different things. My sister went through a bunch of different houses and things like that later on, and it was just a really hard transition for both of us. And for myself, it was just hard because my aunt, for whatever reason, did not like me. And so I spent most of my summers there locked in my room or in the basement on the porch. I didn't get a lot of opportunities to do things. My aunt did not want to take care of me. I was a burden and a waste of space to her. And so it was a really hard thing enduring that. And then like for her to, you know, view the animals as more important than me. I mean, I remember her just saying like, if I didn't get to eat as an 8-year-old, like that was my fault. The animals were more important. Like it was a wild thing to understand and endure. And so just going to school, trying to make the most of it, and then going through the different motions day by day for 2 years was really tough. but all the while going to church. And so it was just interesting to like learn about God and have that hope. And I put my faith in Christ while I was living there, through a Super Bowl thing that we went to in February of 2003. I still remember the Buccaneers Raiders Super Bowl thing and just the player testimony and putting my faith in Christ and then just allowing God to, work throughout that without even me knowing it. And so, but all that kind of accumulated to 2004. My aunt and uncle were just at their wits' end with me, and just were just tired of me being there. Probably is the best way to view it. And so I decided to press charges against me. And so all the while in the background, God had given a vision to one of the ladies at our church that they were supposed to take me in. And so they approached the pastor, talked to my aunt and uncle. They took me in fourth grade, and so then I ended up living there for the rest of my high school days. And so that was great. Endured a lot of different challenges through the years. Middle school usual challenges, finding friends, figuring out what I was supposed to do, who I was supposed to be, trying to deal with some of the things in my past, wrestling with the depression, suicide stuff. And then that continued through high school in the early stages. But in high school, things really changed as I got plugged into a new youth group and stuff after we had been bounced around from churches for a couple years, and really started to have some really solid friendships. And I got to go to a life conference 2010, and that's where I felt like God was calling me into ministry of some sort. And so just trying to figure out like what God had for me, what God was doing in me. And from there, just things really took a turn. And so just feeling God wanted to use me and have that purpose and that drive. And so I spent the next couple of years just trying to figure out what that was and figuring out through junior year that I was just supposed to do youth ministry. And so, and that God was going to use my story and to be able to make a lot of impact in the lives of students. And so,
Well, let me ask you, jumping back to kind of some of those things that you were going through, what were some of, and I know you touched on like some of the suicidal ideations and different things like that. What were some of the internal battles along with that that you kind of went through? Like, were there doubts, were there questions that you had, or things that you wrestled with during that long season?
Yeah, I mean, even when I was 6 and 7, like in those years, like I was just like, I'm a waste of space. I don't have any purpose. I don't have any value. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Nobody wants to be my friend. Nobody cares about me. Like it'd be better if I was just dead. I'm tired of like dealing with that hurt. And so like those are the consistent things that like followed me all the way into high school. And like those are still things that can pop up of where it's like, am I really doing things that matter? Do people really care about me? Do I really have value? Like, does God really love you? Like all of those things, like those things continue and they can creep in and you can have those doubts and wrestle with those things. And so those were things that I really wrestled from young age all the way into high school. And those are the years where you wrestle with those things. And just that despair that crept in. I struggled. The deepest part was kind of that freshman to sophomore year, just almost to a point of complete despair. Just like there's no hope. There's no way that I can get out of this. Like this is just where I am gonna be forever. And like there's no way to get out of this pit that I'm in. And so like that was kind of like just those months and months of despair, just complete lowest.
And like, at what point within all that and within your story, did you start to get a sense that God was like starting to work with you through the pain, not just like in spite of the pain, but like actually beginning to use maybe some of that pain and hurt you had been through your story, to actually change and help and better others' lives?
Yeah, so a couple things happened in high school. One was just like at that point of despair, like having adults in my life that were pouring into me and just giving me wisdom and praying for me and just giving me encouragement. And music was a big part of that too. Like just having those opportunities to like have truth poured into me was a big part of it to combat the lies that I was believing and I didn't know that I was believing. And so just having those things to reflect and having those relationships like my brother Michael and my brother-in-law Mike to and my youth pastor Glenn at the time, who became our senior pastor, like always having those adults in my life that I could be like, hey, like, is this true? Or like, what does God think about these things? Or I really feel this way. And just like having those guys help me to grow and mature, like that was a big part of it. So the adults played a huge part in my life. And also just starting to have those consistent youth group friends was huge because it gave you a place of belonging and it showed that like I had a place. It just wasn't at school because those people did not believe the same things that I believed, and they did not see me as a creation of God with value and somebody that was loved by and known by God. And so, like, that was a turn of things. And so through high school, I started just finding people that wanted to be poured into and wanted to just spend time. And a lot of times that was like girls for me at the time. And so I just spent time eating lunch with girls and stuff. But I had those relationships where they just wanted to spend time with me and talk and ask questions. And it became an opportunity for me to share the gospel and to minister to people. And some guys came along and they became some of my best friends and brought them to church and just seeing God work in their lives too, which was huge. But then also, like my senior year, I went to Life Again, the conference, and just ended up, doing the stupid thing at the time where we put all of our numbers on the balloons and stuff and hit them around. And I started getting texts from strangers and stuff. And there was a couple of kids that I got to really just have that long distance friendship with and pour into them. And this one girl in Pennsylvania, like, was going through all sorts of abuse and suicide and depression and all these things. And so, like, I walked through that season with her for like a year and a half, 2 years of just praying for her, talking with her, encouraging her, kind of being that person as I went into college. And so just seeing God use that, and now she's come out on the other side, just faithfully following God, married, enjoying life, like still dealing with those things, but on a better spectrum and stuff, and just seeing God use that and redeem that situation. So
That's
those were
awesome.
kind of some anchor points that have really kind of shaped my calling into youth ministry too.
Yeah, and it's amazing how he kind of took that pain and shaped it into a way that allows you to love others, show God's love to others, and kind of take that story and your story and redeem it in a way that's still affecting other people. Can you think of, I know you just shared that one about the girl with the balloon. Can you think of like another story that you can point to and specifically be like, this was a time where I know that like God used my story to help someone's life?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few since I've been here at this church, and it's been really cool. I mean, there's been a lot of kids that have struggled with things. So there's been a couple of kids that I've counseled over the years and just had those opportunities to pour into them as a pastor and a brother. And so just seeing God work in their lives because they were dealing with suicide, depression, stuff like that, and just constantly started meeting with these different students and just encouraging them, praying with them, getting them set up in mentor relationships where they connected with other kids and were able to kind of walk through those things together, and not alone. And so that was a big part of seeing like how like I used my story, and students would come to me because they're like, you've dealt with this, help me deal with this. And so just me to be able to be authentic and share that vulnerably. But the coolest thing was like this past April, I was able to speak and give a seminar at our District Blitz Conference, which is our spring district-wide conference. And so we were teaching this year through the book of Hebrews and stuff. So I was using Hebrews 11 and like the heroes of the faith, but it's like, what is faith? And so it's this idea of what are the things, like, I love how N.T. Wright says, like, what, like, trusting and believing that God will do what he says, even though you might not know very much, that he's going to follow through on the things that he's promised, like, to paraphrase it. And so,
Yeah.
like, this is what faith is like, I know who God is to some extent. I know some of the promises that he's made, and I need to act and trust in those things and trust that he's not going to let me down. And so, what does that faith look like as we wrestle with this depression, as the suicide, knowing that God has better things for me? What do I know is true? What do I know of his desires, his promises for me? And then, how do I walk through that? And so, just giving students on some of those areas of like areas to focus on and their battles with mental health and how to help with their anxiety, their depression, their suicide, their doubts, their fears, their worries. And so that was really cool. But afterwards, just like seeing the students like come and talk with me, and that was really encouraging. And I had a kid that stayed after just to talk with me, and I prayed with him and just talked for a long time. But he had been like through some really hard stuff and just resonated. And he was like, I was at the point where like there was no hope for me, but hearing your story has given me hope to press on. And so, like, that was a huge thing for me, like a super encouraging thing to just see like my story is an encouragement to others that they would press on, just like how God has used me to continue to press on despite the doubts, despite the fears, to be able to pour into the lives of others for good.
That's really awesome. And kind of with that, you get to speak into that young student's life. Let's say that there's someone that comes across this thing or they're watching this interview and they're at their ends with what they've dealt with. They are kind of at that point where they're like, I see no way that God can use my pain or my story because of how rough my life has been and what I've been through. What would be like a piece of advice or a word that you would give to that person that feels like there is no hope?
Well, I think it really depends on who the person is, but I think the biggest thing is like on your own, there is no hope. And I think the only hope that is found is in Jesus Christ. Like God can do tremendous things. And then we see throughout the whole story of Scripture, God has used very broken people to do tremendous things. And sometimes they do tremendous things and they go right back to being broken. Like it's one of those things where it's God wants us to walk faithfully with him and build that relationship and to know him and to be used by him continuously throughout our lives and to persevere through our lives till the end. And there are going to be hard seasons. And so I think the biggest thing with that is leaning on a relationship with God, knowing what he has for us, knowing what he's called us to be and who he's called us to be, is a huge part of that. And so I think just people learning who God is, spending time building that relationship and being involved in community is a huge part of that. There's a lot of people that just keep things to themselves and just want to just fight it and be strong, but it will break you. And so having that community of people that can pour into you and encourage you and pray for you, like that's a huge part of getting through these seasons and these battles that will continue out for the rest of your life. But the biggest thing, like when I gave my seminar, is like, your story's not over. Like God is using these things and can use these things, and it can be a beautiful next chapter. Like if I had believed the lies and just taken my life, because without Christ, I would either be dead or in jail, and that's the story for so many of us. And so, but like without that, like I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my son, I wouldn't have this ministry and being able to pour into the lives of dozens and hundreds and thousands of students that some of them I don't even know. And so, like God can take all of these things, just like how Abraham like recognized like his own state of being 100 years old and his body was basically good as dead, but God used him and created a great nation and redeemed all of humanity through his faithfulness through the person of Jesus Christ. And so yeah, you recognize like I'm as good as dead, but also God can turn dead things into life. And so I think that's a huge part of just recognizing like there's so much more that God can do through you rather than you can do just on your own.
And that's one of the things that you mentioned there was one of the things that we talked about in the podcast, which was just this idea that we see our pain sometimes as like the climax of the story. And yet when we give it to God, we realize that that's not the climax of the story. Like that's the beginning. And what he can do from that point on is amazing, but it's about surrendering it to him. And one of the things that as you were saying it, I heard was kind of this idea that for a while you struggled to kind of find a lot of those people that you could connect with. And yet when that change and that shift started happening, you took even that part and allowed it to become part of that instrument of change that God used. And you started to look for others that needed other people to connect with and to be around and to be that voice for them. And so it's just amazing how, that broken piece, when you gave it to God, God is now using that broken piece to speak life into the broken pieces of other people. So that's really amazing. So just kind of in closing here, do you want to give a shout out to your ministry or the ministry that you're a part of, something that you're doing?
No, I'm super excited for this year. So I work full time here at Christ Community Church in Waseca, Minnesota, and I do NextGen. So I get to do a whole bunch of things. So we get to do our kids ministry. I oversee student ministries and young adults. And so just super excited for the season. Huge shout out to just all of our volunteers and all the leaders. We've seen some tremendous ministry growth here over the last year. Our student ministry is just really growing, and the students have really stepped up and are just on fire for Christ and living faithfully and serving him in so many different areas, at school and on their teams, at their work, and also here at the church in various ministries. And so I'm just super excited for that, but could not be more grateful for just the volunteers and the leaders that we have. Just seeing them pour into students and kids week in and week out and loving them well, raising them up in Christ. And also just shout out to all of our staff and here at the church as well. Our pastor is a really great dude. Really honored to work with him, and our secretary does a great job. And we all are kind of leaning on each other right now. We're looking for a discipleship and worship pastor. So right now, so we're in the middle of that season. So, but it's been really cool to just as a staff work together and be committed. And it's awesome having a senior pastor that was the youth pastor. So it's one of those cool situations where it's been a tremendous blessing and a great mentorship too. And he comes to some of our events and things like that and ministers to students as well. So it's great that he has just that platform and that desire to minister to students and their parents and the people in our community.
Awesome. Well, I thank you very much, Scott, for being vulnerable with us and sharing not just the hurt, but what God can do with the hurt and the pain and the brokenness, and how in the end He redeems those things and uses it to touch and change others' lives. So I pray that you would have an amazing, blessed year. And thank you very much for, having this conversation with me and for all one or however many people actually listen to this.
Yeah, no
Thanks.
thanks. No, I appreciate it.